All right, man. Everybody, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And a lot of people, I thought I finished this up last week. I'm like, my gosh, there's one more verse in there. You know, I left that verse on purpose. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 28. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And guys, we've been, man, we looked at the history of this church, all the things they went through. They didn't have a completed Bible, so they were freaked out about the rapture, the second coming. Like, when's Jesus coming back? How is this thing going to look? And how are we going to see our relatives that have passed on before us? I mean, we've just seen a lot of good things in here as he's trying to teach these people and separate those events. And so, and last week's been some practical things at the very end. He's saying, hey, make sure that, you know, God's going to do a work in your life and pray for us and greet everybody with a holy kiss, you know. And then he says, I charge you that this epistle be read. So we talked about that last week, like we should leave here and let's share the word with people. Let's read the letter, man. Let's share it with everybody. Let's pray for each other. We got all those things. And then we end in verse 28 today. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. If you remember, we started this book, chapter 1 and verse 1. He said, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, as he starts his letter, he says, guys, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the apostles, Paul. This is his go-to. Every letter, every single letter that he writes, except one, every single letter that he writes, he starts off by saying, grace be unto you. And then he ends it by saying, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you or be unto you. He did it in Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. He did it in the book of Philemon. And the one book that he didn't start it off with is the book of Hebrews. Now, some people would argue that he's not the author of the book of Hebrews, but a little study would straighten that right up. It's very clear Paul wrote it. And then all of a sudden it gets to the end and you know he wrote it because you know how he ends it. Grace of our Lord be with you guys. The book of Hebrews transitions. It's going back to the Hebrew people instead of the church. And so I think there's some reasons that he didn't necessarily start the book off with grace. But I just want you to know, Paul, this is his start and this is his ending. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Grace. How would you define grace? A lot of people say, you know, grace is, you know, basically, like, we don't get what we deserve. And that's a good definition, for sure. That we know that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and the wages of sin is death. And so grace is Jesus Christ coming and taking our sin and taking our death for us. And so we deserve hell. But because of God's grace, we're going to live. It's a good definition. But when you look up grace in Bible, it kind of defines it several different ways. But I like the word grace. If we didn't have a Bible, how would you think of grace? That sounds bad to say that as a preacher. If we didn't have God's word, but you know what you'd think of grace? You know, I don't know about you, but like, you know, you sit back and you're like, you're sitting by a pond somewhere and like a swan goes by and you just think, my gosh, that's graceful. There's a song I really like. It's called Unraveled by Corey Asbury. And I'm not a big, like, necessarily, I'm not like into ballet or anything like that. I've been to some, and I think they're cool, but it's not my thing. But he does that whole video, and he has a lady that dances. And what's crazy about it is I love it because she's in this, you know, in her outfit that, like, ballet girls wear, and she has kind of like this, like veil material on the outside. And she's doing this thing as the song plays. And it's just talking about becoming unraveled. And then she goes from a ballet studio. They put her on a rooftop. And she's dancing on this rooftop. And it's like she's kind of getting dirty on this rooftop. It's not a clean place to dance because, you know, she's on the floor doing some things and gets up. But the whole thing, and at the very end of this thing, and the song's just talking about, my gosh, God, unravel me. You know, but this whole dance, and look the video up. I don't know about you. It touches me deeply, and I really love it. You think, my gosh, that is so graceful. You know, if you look up grace in a dictionary, it would be like simple, like elegance, or like a refinement of movement. You know, people that do like martial arts. We knew a girl in high school that was a black belt. Like, her dad owned this kung fu studio. And her mom taught. They were all like decorated highly, and they were tough as nails, but you would never know it. Because now he would be up there going, yeah, yeah, you know, yelling and doing stuff. And you're like, my gosh, this is macho, isn't it? And then his wife would get up there, his daughter would get up there, and her movements were just really fluid. And you were just mesmerized by it. The crazy thing is, we went in one time, they had a head. They structured these dummy heads the same structure and strength of a human face. And this girl's doing all this, and you're just thinking, my God. And she was pretty, too, wasn't she, Carol? And she was doing this thing, and all of a sudden, she's like, wha-pow! And this thing, she broke the bones right here. The nose went. I was like, whoa, good golly. You know, grace, though. It was grace. It was such a delight. You know, grace would be like pleasure. Loveliness. My gosh, that's graceful. It's when somebody don't just deliver kindness, but it's maybe even filled with mercy. Like it don't belong almost. And something comes in and changes the whole scene. The Bible teaches that when mankind sinned in that garden, we were all born in sin. And did you know the Bible says this? It's very clear all through the Bible. Isaiah 59:2, I love the way it words it. Our iniquities have separated us from our God. We're separated from God. And guys, don't just think you're separated from God, like, oh, God's way over there and I am here. That's why Romans 1 says this, and because of that, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against unrighteousness. God's holy. You know, he forsook his son on the cross because Jesus took the sins of the world. It was a violent act. And God says, if you want to live your whole life without the righteousness he brought to us, he says, then you'll face my wrath. I'm not down with that. The prophet Nahum said it this way. The Lord is furious and he will take vengeance on his adversaries. Guys, we love to talk about God being a God of love. We all love that, don't we? God is sweet. God cares. God's a God of love, right? What about justice? What about righteousness? God is not playing. Deuteronomy 6:15, he says this. If you want to put a God before the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, it says, my anger will be kindled against you. I actually reserve my wrath for my enemies. And he says this at the end of that verse, and I will destroy you from off the earth. Wow. Yeah, we learned it in the book of Ecclesiastes. We just read it here several months back. But and it says in Ecclesiastes that the Lord is terrible. He's very great. So, God is great. We're born in sin. And guys, listen. It's only by God's grace today that we have a shot. Because the Bible says our hardest of works, our greatest attempts at getting to God, are going to fall so short. It's like playing tug of war with the hippo. You lose. You don't have a chance. I don't even think you could beat a baby hippo. But this is how life is for you and me. And God is not happy that sin has dominated the planet. And God has an enemy. And the enemy's working his deal, and human beings are in sin, and they're separated from God. And God's like, if you don't get this ironed out, you will face my wrath. I will destroy your life. And you, guys, we all know people that live in sin, what happens to them? And some look better than others, but it's just crazy how it is, isn't it? There's anger. There's divorce. There's ugly everywhere. There's mental health is destroyed. Why? I mean, there's a whole sin piece that people keep indulging in. You just can't go against a holy God and find your life going good. You know? You just can't keep turning left and expect to be going right. It don't work that way. So in the midst of this, God is angry with unrighteous people every day. God is sitting back, and the Bible says his fury is going to be poured out. And in the midst of an angry God, we find verses in the Bible that we all knew since we were kids. You know, for God so loved the world, he hated us in that condition, that he gave his only son, his only begotten son. And you know, whosoever believeth in him, they won't perish. I'll give you life. That's grace. That's exactly what grace is. So when Paul says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you, I want you to know that if you looked up grace in the Bible, like I did, I thought I did this years ago. I was looking for this document. I did a study on grace. I couldn't find it. So I just said, here we go. I'm going to do a brand new again. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was incredible. You know what God's grace is? Mark this down. God's grace. Now, God's wrath, God's big, God's terrible, but God's grace, write this down, is Jesus. It's Jesus, because Jesus took our place. Now, if you're quick at flipping the Bible, Jordan, are you putting verses up behind me? Okay. I just didn't know. That'll help me know what to do here. Guys, you know, in John chapter 1 talks about in the beginning was God, right? And then it says, and the Word was God, and was with God. But in verse 14, John 1:14, it says, the Word was made flesh, and we know that was Jesus, right? It says, the Word was made flesh, and it says, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Ain't that beautiful? Matter of fact, he says in verse 17, yeah, grace and truth came by Jesus. So the truth of the matter is, if you don't take your out, if you don't take the ticket that God's provided, you don't go on the trip. You're left behind. It doesn't work well for anybody that does that. God's grace, Jesus is the ticket to eternal life. And the Bible says this is a gift. God's grace is a gift. Jesus Christ did the work. There's sin and there's death. And if you can, go to 2 Corinthians 8:9. If you're quick flipping, if not, you can just wait for it to pop up on the board. But 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes, he became poor. The very people that God was trying to save, the very sinful race of people that God was trying to rescue, the very enemies of God, Jesus put himself in a position to be rejected by God. He became us. And he says, I'm going to take the hit here. I'm coming just to take. I will become poor even though I was rich. And why was that? Because we were so poor. You and me, I mean, we couldn't scrape it together, man, right? Like Chris Rock says, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers, you know? I mean, we couldn't even pay attention, man. That's how broke we were. Our very best efforts fell way, way short. And so Jesus Christ came and says, I will be the mediator. And today, for those of us that know Christ, how rich we are, how wealthy we are. Isn't that, it's grace. So if you got down the first point, that's this. God's grace is Jesus Christ. But the second thing you might want to write down is that it's this grace and this grace only that brings salvation. There is salvation in no other. There's no other way to get salvation other than knowing the grace of God in the form and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that reads the book of Romans, there's a spot in the book of Romans where he proves that everybody's in sin. It's clear. Religious people, you know, crack smokers, yeah, sinner. You know, even this religious guy over here that thinks he's better than everybody else, we're all born in sin. So he proves that. And then he reaches a spot, and all of a sudden he gets to the spot where he says, you can be clean or justified by God's grace, by Jesus Christ. But there's people that said, especially the religious people, were saying, yeah, but, like, you have to work your way there. Like, you have to keep the law. And he hammers this in Romans chapter 4. Even into chapter 5. Like, he gets a hold of this concept and he goes, you think you can work your way to God? No, salvation, Romans 4:4, is reckoned by grace. God's destruction was coming. I was condemned already because of my sin. And all of a sudden, grace walked in the room. God's loving grace. And I sit down and I got it, and I was just like, but, like, this feels weird because I didn't earn it. That's why it's called grace. If you earned it, the Bible says, it wouldn't be called grace. It'd be of your works. It would nullify what Jesus Christ has done. That's why some of you that have been in the Bible, why you'll recognize some of these verses. That's why Galatians says this. Oh, you think salvation's by your works? Why do you frustrate the grace of God? God's loving gift. God pouring out his own soul to consume the wrath of God for you and me. And you think being a good person's going to cut it. And God's just like, it's frustrating. So frustrating. I like when somebody, I've seen people get gifts before. I've been guilty of this myself. I'm like, no, dude, take some money for it. Seriously. No, I just want to give it to you. No, seriously, I can't let you do that. No, seriously, it's on me. I just want to be gracious and give this. And then you're like, no, seriously, you can't pay for our dinner. No way. I'll tell you what, let me lay the tip down at least. No, I said it's great. And you know the best thing to do? My friend Jimmy married into a family that this dude at one point was a top dog at Hallmark Cards. And then he took a job for Crayola, you know, the Crayola crayons and all that whole company. He was like the top dog for Crayola. Like, this guy tells stories about, yeah, Brad Pitt called the other day and asked me, oh, really? You know, a Bono from U2 comes in and they're sitting down. And he's like, yeah, and the guy's just casually talking to me. Like, this is like the crowds this guy gets to be around. He's this type of guy. Well, my buddy Jimmy, they needed a car, and they've been praying for God to give him a car. God, we need a car. You know, please provide one, low payments, all this type of thing. But you know our needs. Out of the blue, his brother-in-law didn't have a clue he was needing this. And he just called up, and he says, hey, Jim. He said, man, I'm calling. He says, because basically, you know, we've had a couple more kids, but my wife has this Honda Civic, and dude, it's got under 20,000 miles, and we'd just like to give it to you. Jimmy's like, oh, I can't take that. A car? Holy night, I can't take that. He goes, no, seriously, we wanted to give it to you. He's like, no, do you want me to buy it from you? Maybe I'll buy it if the price is right. And Jimmy goes, I just want to give it to you. Do you want the car? And Jimmy goes, I can't take it. He goes, all right. Talk to you later. Jim said as soon as he hung on the phone, he knew. I blew it. I've been praying for a car. I blew it. That deal came around three years later. It was a different car. And Jimmy said, yes, thank you. I'll take it. Don't frustrate God's grace. Don't frustrate it. Matter of fact, Galatians 5 even says people that once you're saved and you're like saying like now that you're justified by your works because you're such a good person. He's like, you know what you do? It's like you've fallen from grace. Here's this beautiful platform of grace God's given you, fallen off of it. Don't be a knucklehead. This is God's beautiful grace given to you and me. No wonder Paul starts every book and ends every book and just saying, hey guys, the grace of our Lord be with you. Because were it not for grace, you're done. You're doomed. You're lost. God's wrath is on you. You have nothing. Were it not for grace, I would tell you where I would be. I'd be going down a road that leads to nowhere. If my salvation were up to me. Grace. God, you're so graceful. You've been so good to me. Now, I want you to know that grace is a gift, and the Bible says that gift does need accepted, right? Just to let everybody know this. Grace is on the table, but some people refuse to take it. History records people that literally were going to get, they were going to get the noose, man. The next day they were going to be hung, and on the sheriff's office, a mother went in and pleaded for her son's life because of who she knew and what she did, and the money laid down on the table. He says, okay, I'll sign the pardon. Well, that afternoon, her son got hung. And the only reason why was, they said, you've got a pardon. We need you to sign this piece of paper, and you're free. And he was such an awful guy, and he killed a lot of people. He said, I don't deserve to live. And he hung that day with a pardon sitting on the desk. How awful. And somebody says, well, he didn't deserve grace. That's why it's grace. That's why it's grace. It's beautiful. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, it says that the gift of grace comes by Jesus Christ. And it says that this is a gift that we need to accept. If you accept God's gift of grace, you know what Ephesians 1:6 says? Sorry, Jordan. Jordan's getting a workout back there. You know what Jordan told me? Jordan said, Mike, because people are saying, man, the verses ain't always popping up back there. And Jordan's like, I'm trying to get to him, but this program sometimes, you know, files through. I get it. And he's like, well, if I could get the verses that you're going to use, that would really help me if ahead of time back there. And I was just like, there's one problem with that, Jordan. I don't know the verses I'm going to use. And that's the truth. I'm not lying. I'm looking like at this point. I'll look at the clock sometimes. I'm like, man, I got 6 verses to prove this point. Which verse am I going to go to? I got to get better at that. I'm growing. You know, I'm 53 years old now. I figure by the time I'm in my 70s, Jordan might say, man, you got it down, Mike. And then the day's going to come when I can't preach anymore, you know. So anyways, you got Ephesians 1 up there? Ephesians 1 and verse 6. I love this verse. Ephesians 1, 6. And now it's not going to go? We can turn there. Technology's awesome, isn't it? It just basically says it's by grace. You know what he's done? He's made us accepted in the beloved. You accept grace. It's that grace that makes you accepted in the beloved. Beloved. You're part of the family. You see it? The glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You accept grace, you're accepted. Do you see that? Jesus Christ is God's grace for you and me. He took the payment. And if you accept that, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, you get the gift. Crazy, isn't it? It's beautiful. And now you get accepted. If you're taking notes, you might want to write a third thing down about grace. The majority of times you find grace in the New Testament, it's not just for salvation. It's even now part of the proclamation. Because you know one of the greatest things you and me have? And you know how it is. Every family's got somebody that has cancer in it. It's everywhere. It's tearing people's lives up. And it's like you get the cure. Well, what happens in America, if you get the cure, you find the right pharmaceutical company that'll give you X amount of trillions of dollars so they can break this thing up and capitalism will take over, right? People will start fighting for it and then you put it out there on the market and somebody's going to make billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. That's how it works, and it's not just with cancer. So it'd almost be like everybody's got cancer and I do got the cure for it. For me to keep that quiet and then get myself an attorney and put together a board of people so that we can go around and create a company to fix this thing. You ever read about insulin? You know, insulin's super expensive for people that have diabetes. And you ever heard about how insulin was put together and discovered? It was really kind of sad because the guy that had it actually was just like, man, take it. This is going to help a lot of people. Yeah, but nobody will make money on it. And so that's what they do with it now. And now you got all these people, usually predominantly older folks, and they can't even afford the very chemical that they need to help them live, which was once given for free. Shame on churches. Shame on churches that once we get the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and then we get people wrapped up into this circus mess of trying to do works to please God instead of living a grace-filled life. A life that, yes, and I do want my works to back up what I believe. And when they don't, I'm thankful for grace. I'm so thankful for grace. You know, grace in the Bible, the third thing you should write down is grace is for believers. It's, you know, see, grace needs proclaimed. I think there's people that don't know. Their lives are all messed up. Do you realize that? Human beings are riddled with problems, but the biggest problem of it all is their spirit is dead. It needs to be revived and made alive. That's the connecting point for God. Jesus Christ died for them. And so I don't care what they're struggling with. Bad relationships. Oh, I have a bad family. I need more money. My kids are troubled. My gosh, I'm sick. I got mental problems. All these things, we know they're all a result of one thing, because originally those things weren't there. And did you know the beginning and the start of all that is God graciously sent Jesus Christ? That's the start of it. I can't tell you how many people I've known that have met Jesus Christ and said, my gosh, my problems are like non-existent now. Oh, that's what you needed all along, was a Savior. You needed a hero. You needed your spirit filled on the inside. And all of a sudden, the number one struggle that people have, the number one struggle in the head right now, and it probably always will be forms of depression. And it's real. And some of us got it in like our family lines, man. Like it comes down through the family. Like, man, I really struggle with this. I do. But when Jesus Christ, I found out he gave his life for me and somebody proclaimed that message and I received him, you know what? My struggles are nothing like they used to be. Nothing. Hey, I'm human still. I'm not saying there's times I get away from that. And the further I get away from it, the more messed up I get. But he has been so gracious to me. Now, with that message, why wouldn't I want to tell people that? Grace is a message that needs proclaimed. You'll be surprised at the people that do not know. My brother for years struggled with drugs. And I remember we'd tell him all the time, and you need Jesus Christ. He struggled connecting the dots there. He's like, I don't get it. I know people that are religious. And all he goes, I don't know what that has to do with it. You know, and I was like, I know it, but you got this void inside. You can't drink enough to fill that up. You can't have sex enough. You can't have enough drugs to fill that up. And that's why you keep going back, because you do like the high feeling. That's why we call it that, like to get high. It don't get any higher than meeting the creator of it all. It's as high as a human being can get. And don't think of high like just always ecstasy, because life sometimes is not pleasant. And when it's not pleasant, you know some of the things that gets me through? Grace. It's his grace. I can go through it and sometimes not even know if I'm going to make it through it. And God says, Mike, there is something that's sufficient for you today. It's my grace. And I'm able to make it through, regardless of the outcome of the situation. So just to let you know, even in the Bible, witnessing and testifying of God's grace, it says in Acts chapter 4, like the apostles had great power, and these apostles went out to witness, and it says, and great grace was upon them. When you got a gift this beautiful, and you want to keep it to yourself, this always cracks me up in the world. You know, somebody that's having an affair on their spouse. Like, and I like watching movies on this because the movies really start telling the truth. You'll get into the middle of a movie, and all of a sudden, here's a guy. His marriage ain't going so good, so he steps out, and he's got a girl on the side. Mom at home knows something's wrong. She don't know all the truth necessarily. But then all of a sudden, it always reaches a spot in the scene, whether it's a guy or a girl, and the girlfriend always just says, I'm tired of being a secret. We're in trouble. This thing's going to get ugly now. You are a secret. You're a second thought. You're better in fantasy world than in reality. And it starts dawning on him or starts dawning on her that, my gosh, and this guy, this girl's not willing to leave their spouse for me. Why? Well, he's looking at the repercussions of this, looking at his kids and looking at his wife. And it's like, oh, my gosh, now I don't know what to do. Because the guy realizes something. I'm not happy, and I was using this girl just to make me happy. And now that she's pulled this card, I'm not happy again. It's exactly how it works, isn't it? So I know what people need. I know it. If Jesus and his grace has meant everything to my life, nobody has to tell me to witness. This church does not have to have classes on how to witness. That's some of the most silly things. I get it, and we've done it before. But you shouldn't need to do it. Because Christ has meant so much to me that I want everybody to know it. When I hear somebody's story or they're struggling, the first thing in my mind is I want to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because this is what you need. This is what your wife needs, your kids need. This is what you need. You need your spirit filled. Your connection with God needs to be. It's only through Jesus Christ. This is what you need. And you want to tell people that. That's why grace is for witnessing, man. It's for testifying. Paul says it frequently. I testify of the gospel, of the grace of God. The good news is God's gracious. The good news is, yes, God is going to stomp you out, man. The good news is Jesus came and said, I'll take the butt kicking. I'll take the whipping for it. That's great news. People need to know. It's called a gift, and it needs proclaimed. And Paul even says that the grace that God gives me, yes, is for salvation and my sanctification, but now for my work, for the ministry I do. It's grace that makes it. I love when it says that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Because, guys, this is the truth. This is the book of truth. And all through the Old Testament, it put together the law and it said, walk the line. And all of a sudden, Paul says, it's funny. Everybody tried to walk the line. And, you know, the older you get, you know, they always have, you know, hey, let's do a sobriety test here. Walk the line, dude. That's what you do. One foot in front of the other and you watch people stumble. It's funny because, like, the older I get, like, I don't have the balance I used to. I'm like, I would always fail that test. That's why they'd probably give me another one, you know. Like, hey, say the alphabet, say it backwards. Oh, my gosh. I'm really in trouble, ain't I? You know, I'm going to fail this, you know. But the bottom line is this is a hard book of truth, and it's hard to keep. And the Old Testament proved this. Nobody on planet Earth can walk the line. Nobody. Nobody can do it perfect. Some do it better than others, but it don't matter. You know. You know, some people fall in immediately, you know. It's like watching that movie Wipeout. You know, remember? Not movie. It's not a movie. It's that TV show. Everybody likes that show because you watch people do dumb things, go through an obstacle course and get hit by big things, knock people. And some people just gracefully go down. Some people say, oh, dude, you almost made it, but I got news for you. You didn't. That girl didn't even make it the first round. She jumped in. Bam, she's in the mud hole, you know. And dude's like, man, I almost made it. Almost don't count, man. You ain't getting points for that, pal. I got news for you. And so the bottom line is this, because of this hard book of truth, God gives us grace. You know why Jesus Christ came? Because the law couldn't bring us righteousness. So Jesus came and says, hey, the law is righteous. You just can't keep it. You just couldn't do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fulfill it. And now if you put your faith and trust in me, I will extend my life to you. And I'll be ever so gracious. Wow, it's beautiful, isn't it? He gives us grace so that we can serve our God. That's what Paul says. Guys, this is how we live our lives as ministers. We should be gracious. We shouldn't even have to teach each other like, to, you know, some churches like, we're going to do a series on love. We need to love people. Really? You're struggling loving people? Really? Did you forget about grace? Do you remember that dude that was forgiven in the Bible, people that were forgiven their debt? And all of a sudden, the guy's like, somebody owes me some money. And he went right out and grabbed the guy and just says, I'm going to have you put in jail, pal, because you owe me money. And do you remember the judge saying, you've been forgiven, and now you're not going to extend it to your neighbor? I forgave you of much, and you're going to hold this over this guy's head? Grace makes us great ministers because we have compassion for people. We have grace, and people just say that, oh, yeah, you know. And I like how people say that, like, that guy, you know, if she comes to church, I'm telling you, the roof's going to cave in the church. Really? You really think so? I got news for you. You know what's holding this roof up? Grace. This is a grace-filled place. And God's wrath is going to come down on people that reject it. But, and you know the key to getting grace? Everybody take your Bibles and go to James chapter 4 and verse 6. And if everybody beats Jordan there, he's fired. James chapter 4, verse 6. I had mine up. I didn't see it. I should have looked back quicker. I love James chapter 4, verse 6. It says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 5. Same thing. It says this, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." It says the exact same thing in 1 Peter 5. So you know what this means? God gives you the grace of salvation. You know what it requires? Romans 3:23. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I have to admit that I can't do it, that I'm a sinner. To get salvation, it starts with humility. And if I want to be proud, and that's one thing I like, but Bo's the first one I heard say this. I don't know who he got it from. Maybe he made it up, maybe he stole it, but it's beautiful. He'd go into that jail up there, and these guys, some of them in there committed horrible crimes. He's like, "You know, there's only one person God can't save. Only one person, guys, that God can't save." Of course, I'm there like, where's he going with this? God can't save a proud man. He resists proud people. But if you'll humble yourself today and admit you're a sinner, which should be easy for you to do because you're already behind bars, you got caught. But Jesus loves you so much. God loves you. He gave his life for you. And there's grace. I don't mean you're not going to go to prison. You might still have to pay for that crime. But the soul sin that you have stuck on you, that soul tattoo, is permanent. If you'll meet Jesus Christ, it'll take care of that business. So some of us, and by the way, if you're struggling, the Bible says if God gives grace to the humble, right? He resists proud people. So if you're struggling loving somebody, if you're struggling with that, and we all do at times. A lot of times, you know, the issue is like that person needs to change. They need to become more lovable. That's not the issue. There's an issue deeper, and you know what the issue is? Humility. You're flippin' arrogant. And I know there's times you look at people and you're just like, "Oh, I hate people that do that. I hate that." And I get it. There's injustices in the world we all look at, and sometimes it just crawls under your skin. Certain ones do worse than others, right? But you know what we do? The Bible says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How can I minister to those people? I remember Terry Talbert telling me one time, we were doing some missions work in Pakistan, if you guys remember this. And I remember he scheduled a meeting with me to come, and he goes, "Did you know," he says, "it was those people that killed my son. Is it wrong for me to not want those people reached with the gospel?" He goes, "I want us to turn that whole place into a parking lot over there." And I said, "Hey, my feelings would think the same thing, for sure. All of us would feel that way. You would, wouldn't you? That's your feelings. But now what you need to do is drink a large pitcher of humility and realize you do not deserve the grace that you got. You were born in sin. You were against God. You've made a mess of most of your life. And now you're a Christian coming to church. And you know, then it starts clicking. You're just like, yeah, I'm arrogant." There's people all over. We're all prejudiced to somebody or at somebody. And you know what it solves that issue, don't you? Humility. It does. It solves that issue to realize who you are. Who do you think you are? My mom has said that to me a few times. That's what you got a scripture quote, mom. I'd be a kid, man. I'd get mad at somebody and say something, and my mom would say, "Who do you think you are? You know, why don't you stand up and give an account? Where were you when God created the world?" She did that passage all in Job, and I was just like, "Geez, mom, stop it. Why you make me feel horrible like this? Humble yourself. That's why." People have difficult lives. So guys, remember this. You want more grace in your life for people, it's going to come through humility, just like salvation. So whether you're going to be get salvation or you're going to be a minister for the gospel and salvation, both require a ton of humility. That's what, and arrogant people drive us crazy, don't they? You know, you're watching like these American Idol shows and you find the girl that she's in the top three. But when she was 10 years old, she had already done a few commercials and her mom hired a voice coach and she already played Annie on Broadway and she did all this. And you just, and then there's the big Hawaiian boy that was born in Hawaii that comes out and his dad just died. And he stands up and he cries and he sings the song. And you're looking and everybody just says, I want him to win. And you know why? It's that humble factor, isn't it? It's attractive. I like those comeback stories. That's what we all love about stories. It's when the hero comes along. It's this grace to see this guy that was so broken that shouldn't be where he's at. And we just say, were it not for grace, I'd tell you where I'd be. Man, I'd be going nowhere. One word that keeps coming up with grace, and I love it in the Bible. And you know what the word is? Abundant. I like that word. His abundant grace. God's grace is abundant. Like, there's truckloads of it. That's what it is. It's exceeding, his grace is exceedingly large, the Bible says. Ephesians says, in God's grace, he calls it the riches of his grace. You can't outspend it. Do you realize if I gave you $1 million today, you'd think, oh, I'd be set for life. Depends on how you're going to live your life. A million ain't what a million used to be. Really do the math on that. How much could you live off of a year if you just put $1 million in and got just a normal bank investment off of it? How much would that be a year for you to live off of? Look at it. You'll be like, I thought it might be more than that. Well, you might have to get aggressive with some of that investment to get it doing. But now, it's different. A millionaire is so much different than a billionaire. Because when you cross that line and become a billionaire, then all of a sudden you don't look at price tags. It'd be hard. You do the math on that, especially if you're my age. You'd have to spend a lot of money every day to burn through that, to burn through the billion. Not the million, but the billion. And God says, and all the riches of my grace and mercy. You can never outspend that money. It don't have a budget. That's God's grace. And every mother in this room would know and testify. Some fathers, but most mothers would. Some of your kids have done the most silly, ridiculous, stupid things. Would you say that because of her ridiculousness, it just took half my love away? No. And sometimes you were enabling and all that, so you got to just say, it might appear that way. But no, you go down with the broken heart in this thing. Because your love is just that big. That's your child. And I'm telling you what, God's grace is abundant and massive. And I want to show you two verses in closing today. Well, I might have one more, but two for sure. Do you guys remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is having trouble in his life. It's actually spiritual trouble. A messenger of Satan's buffeting him. But he has trouble in his life. Some people want to make it a physical trouble, but that's what we like to do. We always try like to take something spiritual and if we can, make it physical. It's a curse. That's really a curse. And we know that from D2 when we talk about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It's a curse. It's what we do all the time. We mess up the kingdoms. But this one here, Paul's crying out. He asks three times and says, God, take this away. Take this away. God, please take this away. God, please take my trouble away. And God says this. My grace is sufficient. My grace is so big and massive. Hey, now your suffering will be for a temporary time, no doubt about it. But in the big picture of it, God's grace is so sufficient. Basically, you know what he says there? God's grace is bigger than your troubles. You go to Hebrews chapter 4, and he says, anybody have some real needs in your life? Then what you need to do, if you know him, right, then you come boldly to the throne of what? What's it called? Throne of what? Grace. So that you can find grace in your time of need. It's a throne of grace. And guys, it's not just a trunk load of grace. It's not just a dump truck of grace. It's not just a boatload of grace. The Bible says it's so abundant it can't be, it doesn't run out. It doesn't go away. That's what we got pictures of this in the Bible of like the cruise of oil. I keep pouring it out and it's like keeps coming back. What? It's grace. Grace. God's grace. And it pardoned my sin. And now it carries me in my life. It carries me through ministry. That's why Colossians chapter 3 says, and when I sing, you know how I sing, guys? Some people say, not the best. No. I sing with grace in my heart. That's how we sing. That's why in Colossians 4 it says, hey guys, your speech should always be with grace. Why are you so hard? Why are you so mad? It wasn't the best thing ever. I love that. Hey, Tom Brady, you mad, bro? Why are you mad? The greatest quarterback of all time? Why are you fired up? And it wasn't that great when he was egging him at the end of that game. But why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad, bro? Yeah. Hey, Christian, why are you upset? Why are you so fired up? Why are you so mad? Why are you unhappy? Maybe we just need to sit down with a large glass of humility and realize the grace that's been extended to us, and then we need to extend that to other people. Guys, I got a couple things for you in closing. Do you notice he says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:28? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This grace, be with you. That phrase, be with you, is actually one word in Greek. And you know when it first appears? In the New Testament, it appears in Matthew 1:23 when God himself was coming down to planet Earth and he says, hey, let's call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The first time we find God's grace to be with you in the New Testament is when Jesus Christ was sent to save the world. Then he dies on a cross and resurrects, and he pulls his boys together that know him. And here they are, man. The disciples, they're just fishermen, man. They're renegade, average people like you and me. And in Matthew 28 and verse 20 says, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. And they're like, man, you're going to leave, man. What are we going to do? He goes, no, man, I'm putting my spirit inside. You'll be fine. He goes, I want you to know something. And he gives them this commission. All power in heaven and earth, right? It's mine, and I'm giving it to you. And at the end, he says, I want you to go ye therefore into all the world. And then you're going to baptize them, right? So they're going to get saved. They're going to baptize them and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then let me end with this, guys. Like the Apostle Paul, I want to end just like I started. I am with you always. That's how the New Testament opened up. With salvation, Jesus comes on the scene and God is with us. And the disciples are like, we're going to take the gospel to the world, a message that's going to go against all religious people and every nation on the planet. This is going to be rough. He's like, it's going to be rough, but don't forget one thing. My grace is sufficient. I'm with you. My grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Amen. Hey guys, don't fool yourself. This book, it's truth. Jesus came with grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. But in closing, I want to show you how powerful this ending. You're like, oh, Paul ends every book this way. That's what you think of. Oh, that's just his average. It's like just saying, hey, what's up, dude? You say that to everybody. Like, hey, bro. Oh, that's that guy's go-to every time. Hey, how's it going? You know, everybody's got this little opening and closing when you meet people, you know. Later, you know, somebody's like, adios, you know, whatever. And that's how Paul does it, just grace, grace, grace. Guys, it's not this casual. Because here's this book, this beautiful story in this book is God himself, him and Lucifer having difficulty. And then finally, he on planet Earth, after there was a wreckage, some of you know the story. And then all of a sudden, mankind was put on there. Perfect. Mankind was perfect. Him and God had a relationship. The enemy came down and talked mankind into choosing sin. And all of a sudden it got rough. Now, God came down, made some clothing for him and all that type of stuff. But God has been on the reach. God, with his grace, mankind has been against him from the very beginning. And so, God, you'll see all the way through this book, you'll see something super beautiful. And that is this. God's wrath, God's judgment, God is true. God is a God of truth. And he's all about justice, man. And I'm telling you, and mankind is against him. And like, you're in deep trouble. Human beings are in deep trouble. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His grace. He gave me something I don't deserve. I don't deserve elegance, a beautiful movement of mercy in my life. So God paints this picture, and all of a sudden at the end of it, people are standing in judgment. Man, you got the devil who's locked up. Then he's brought back forth. Everybody gets brought up from hell. There's a final judgment. Then they go to like prison. They go to the lake of fire. You watch this all unfold in the Bible, right? Everybody take your Bible and go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter. And here's the God of the Bible, the God of the universe. Everybody's going against him. Like, I mean, it's awful. So God is going to come down in wrath. We read all these things of Revelation and God's righteous judgment and all this stuff. And just check this out. Revelation 22, he ends in verse 21. You know how he ends the Bible? The entire Bible, he ends with this. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's God's last message, not just to the Thessalonians, but to mankind. And guys, there's a theme in the story, and it's grace. Oh, there's truth, and truth don't change, but there's grace. It's Jesus. It's the way out. I don't deserve it. I'm fighting a fight that I can't win, and he fights it for me. Yeah. And today, oh, those of us that know him, some of you have never met Jesus Christ. You need this grace in your life. You need to become a Christian. I'd accept this grace. There's no way out except God's grace to you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be accepted by God, then you better accept the gracious gift he's given through Jesus. It's the only way. And the rest of us, if we're going to be good ministers, you know what's going to make our church great? A great mission statement, you know. No, that's great to have that. You know what's going to make our church great? If we have better desserts up here. If our church can, if we get a better coffee, you know, that's going to make our church, you know. Once we reach $10,000, then our church is going to be great because we can put the... Hey, guys, next year there'll be something more. There'll be more money to spend somewhere else. I tell you what makes us great. It's the very thing that's covered our butts from the very beginning. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When all of a sudden planet Earth don't want nothing to do with Jesus, and you step in like a hero, and they're just like, man, you are a really good guy. You're a great lady. And you say, actually, I'm not. I'm a turd. And God's grace came into my life, and it was greater. It's grace. It's all grace. And then we have compassion on them, and they want the very God that we have. And I'm telling you why. It's because the grace of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I don't know if you can't pay your bills. Hey, if you can't pay your bills, say something to me. I might know somebody might be able to pay them for you. Seriously, I don't know. We have connections in here. Seriously. Man, I got a tire. It's flat. It keeps losing air. Man, we got people that can work on that. That stuff's easy. Come say something. You got to open your mouth. Man, I don't know what we're going to eat this week. You know, we'll say something about it. We might not have much. Sometimes homeless people come into our church and want stuff. I take them right in the kitchen and open up the cupboards. And sometimes there isn't much. But there was one time we had a bunch of spaghetti noodles. I pulled them out and I'm like, we don't have any sauce, but these are carbohydrates. You boil these up, eat these noodles, they'd be good. Hey, there's some butter in here. You ever have butter noodles? You can make that out. I've literally had people reject it. You know when they reject it, you know what I do? get out. You ain't hungry enough. I'm willing to say, hey, whatever's here, you know. And they wanted just some cash. I was like, no, what you need is you need grace, man. You need Jesus Christ. That's what you need, you know. So let's leave this building today, you and me. And let's just, yeah, them other stuff is easy. But let's be a gracious people. Let's, because of God's grace in our life that I don't deserve, this beautiful dance that was done. What time is it? Oh, it's 10:30. So I got some different plans coming up here in the future. And one is we'll end. We'll be done by now. And I might even end this sooner in the future. But we'll have to talk about that later. But I was looking what time it was because I was going to have Jordan play that video of unraveling. But I told Sunday school we'd be done in an hour and a half. So we're right there. So, hey, guys, if you need saved, please say something to me. If you're struggling being a minister, I hope the day helped. To drink some humility and minister with grace, knowing that I don't deserve it. And we're going to give it out, right? And so I want everybody to know, if you look at our $10,000 board back there, as of last Sunday, we've crossed the halfway point. So praise the Lord for that, you know. So, hey, that's no joke. That's a lot of money. It's not a lot of money for the Lord, but for you and me, that's a lot of cash, man. That's a lot of cash. And so just want you to know, we're past the halfway point. And so we got, it's actually, them holes ain't totally perfect, or I'd have had to say every hole is worth $117.36 or something like that. You know, so we just drilled them and just made that kind of 100 was a nice round number. So I just want you to know that we are super, we're going to get that thing. And it we're super close. We're over halfway, and we're somewhere now. It's under $5,000, and we'll be done with that thing. And then we're going to burn it in the street and celebrate. We'll have a big celebration, you know. So, man, there was something else I was going to say before we left today. Forget. So, well, I'm glad you're here. Please don't leave the building without knowing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God. We had a United graduated last week, and now this week it's Monmouth Roseville gets to walk the stage and graduate. So we get Josie. Josie's going to graduate. It's going to be awesome. And what's awesome about it is a couple of things. One, there was a time when she first got cancer, we were like, is she going to make it? And then real quick, man, it started taking, and that tumor started shrinking. And so now, of course, then we thought, well, she missed a whole year of high school plus a little bit of another one. We thought, well, she probably won't get to graduate with her class. And you know what? It's by God's grace. She's excelled. She's not only graduating with her class, she's graduating at the top of her class. And it's not because she's got the IQ of her dad. It's God's grace. God's been good, hasn't he? So let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. D2 tonight, youth group tonight. It's our last D2 class tonight. We'll wrap it up, and then we'll have a summer off. So, hey, make sure you get a bulletin back there. There's a lot of things on there coming up. Everything from, I know the marriage retreats around the corner. VBS, we're going to have to be on that here, coming up here, shortly. It'll come up on us quick. We got church camp. All those things are happening that, you know, just going to require a lot. And so, Jesus, we come to you today and just want to say thanks for your grace. God, we don't deserve it, man, and we got it, man, boatloads of it, and so much. We don't want to frustrate it, God, but we want to minister with it. That's what we want to do, with your heart. We want to be a humble people that go out there, and we want to take this message to the entire world. God, there's one thing that's enough today. I know we all have needs in here, but there's one thing that's enough. It's your grace. Thanks for the book of 1 Thessalonians. Thanks for ending it the way it started. Thanks for showing us this today. And may we live in your grace. May we not live and treat you with frustration. May you not be frustrated at us. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.